You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want to give a welcome to all of our campuses, to Siena and Cypress and downtown in the Loop, and a special bienvenidos to our new Spanish campus. That today is the day of the beginning of that, which is awesome. We've been praying. We are so glad and so excited. And I want you to grab in your weekly guide, you've got a little note-taking section that I'd love for you to have in your lap, and then also a kind of a cardstock thing that I'll show you in just a little bit so you'll be ready. We're talking about parenting, but we've been ramping up to this. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 is all about the blessings that God gives us. Then Ephesians 4 and 5 is talking about, and 6 is talking about, then what do we do with these blessings? How do we live this out? So we've been ramping up to it. We talked for a couple weeks about marriage, and now we're moving into Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn in your Bibles there. Ephesians chapter 6 to talk about parenting. Parenting is a gift. Parenting is a blessing. Kids are a blessing from God. And we need to understand how to walk with God as a parent. Nobody becomes a parent and says, man, I just want to do a terrible job with parenting. Everybody wants to do a great job with parenting, but you get to into parenting and you realize that there's no way to be a perfect parent. One movie line puts it like this: there's no way to be a perfect parent, but there's a million ways to be a great parent. There's no way to be a perfect parent, but there's a million ways to be a great parent. So what we're going to look into God's word in just a few minutes and see what it means to be a great parent. What are we going for? What are we trying to train in our children? What are we hoping for? What's the bullet, the bullseye that we could hit with the bullet to say we want to hear from God and really walk in that way? Now, when you're a parent, you find out this, that you try some things and they don't work, and then you try other things and they don't work, and you think you think are going to be great. It's just hard to be a parent. We were trying to be great parents by taking our kids to Disney World. We thought that would be a lot of fun. Seems like that's what you should do from time to time. We vacation in close places. We vacation a little further away. So last weekend, I told you about going to Fredericksburg just in the good old car. And this is going down to Orlando and Disney World. So we thought it'd be fun to go to Disney World. It's the happiest place on earth, so they say. And when we go to Disney World, we get there. And so I had planned a breakfast with the characters of Disney. I thought, this will be awesome. We'll have breakfast with the characters of Disney. My daughter really liked Winnie the Pooh books at that time, so we were going to eat with Tigger, and we were going to eat with Pooh Bear. We were going to eat with Piglet. She really liked Piglet a lot. And so I said, okay, this is going to be great. We're going to eat breakfast with Piglet. So we get to the restaurant, and here's Piglet. We got to eat breakfast with Piglet. It's a 6-foot Piglet, okay, a big Piglet. So that's the picture as I'm taking it on one side of the table. Piglet is coming up to our table. Let me show you Valerie on the other side of the table. Pure panic, the happiest place on earth. So the rest of my breakfast was keeping Piglet away from our table is what I was trying to do. No, go around that, go around that. I'll give you $2 to go around that way. Go somewhere else. That's how it is in parenting though, isn't it? There's things that you're like, this is gonna be awesome. And it doesn't, no, it's not. This is not gonna be so awesome and everybody loves it. How does this all work out with this in parenting? Well, here's what's great, is that God's given us in his word some principles, some things that are better than just our own ideas, better than, well, you know, my dad did this, and my mom did this, and maybe we'll try this, and my friends are doing this. He's given us some principles in this, and I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. So kids, that's a big thing, and we're going to get to talk about that in just a second. Why do you obey your parents in the Lord? Because it's right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have long life in the land. Verse 4, and fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So for this week and next week, we're going to talk about parenting from those four verses. Now, when we talk about this, what's great is the Lord has given us some principles here, some thoughts and some plans of saying, okay, here's what it's supposed to be like. So you don't have to just come up with your own Piglet idea. You can follow what his ideas are. Here's the deal, though. We parent from principles. We parent with principles, not formulas. We parent with principles, not formulas. Wouldn't it be great if we could read here and we could say, oh, here's how you do it. You go to this many football games, you eat this many ice cream cones, you do this many walks in the park, and this is how you do it. You just 2 + 2 + 2 = 6, and now, bing, your kid is perfect and awesome and walks with God and makes a difference in the world and everything's great. Parenting is more art than it is science. Parenting is not math, it is a creative art. It's a lot of, okay, what do I do right now? Lord, I need wisdom. I need help right now. How do we do this? And so in that, we've got to know that this is not a formula. It's not a formula. Because I think a lot of us as parents, we feel like they got the formula over there. Somebody else has got the formula. And we don't have it. We don't know what it is. And so we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. It's not a formula. It is principle-based. It's principle-based. So let me ask you, and you can write these down in your notes. There's four different kinds of parents, and we are all a mix of each of these. So you're not just solely one or the other. There's four different kinds of parents. Number one is this, a preference parent. This is what I prefer as a parent. I prefer for kids to be seen and not heard, and I want a quiet house. Well, you wanting a quiet house might not be what everybody else needs in the house. A preference parent is one that this is how you like it, how you want it, and this is how it's going to be. Well, to operate from just your preferences is not taking into consideration the raising of these different souls that are in your home. There's the pop culture parent, number two. Pop culture parents, they follow the crowd. What's the latest and greatest? I mean, who really does this stuff anymore? This is so old. All of our psychologists have figured out a lot better things than God. So let's just do whatever the latest and greatest is. What do our friends do? Well, my friends, they require our kids to eat, their pizza and french fries before they get their ice cream. Okay, well, that's how I'll do it. Well, maybe you should start with, like, some different kind of foods from the very beginning, you know, that before they get to the ice cream. It's not just pop culture, parents, of what everybody else is doing around. It's not that, because if it is, you're just going to float with every different wave that goes by. Number three, keep the peace, parents. Whatever the kids want, the answer is yes. Keep the peace, parents. So what happens in that? We begin to just give up our phones at every moment to just keep them quiet. Here, take an iPad, take an iPhone. It's basically kitty cocaine is what it is. Watch video after video after video after video because we just want you to be quiet. We don't want to really teach you how to sit through a meal and be enjoyable and enjoy the fellowship of other people. Just be quiet, keep the peace, whatever you want. The answer is yes, you can hold me hostage. And you have to ask this question, who's really in control at this moment? Who's really in control at this moment? See, what happens if you have a child that it's a keep the peace parent, here's what's going to happen. Toys R Us will morph, and it will change titles. It will no longer be Toys R Us. It will become Toys or Else is what it will become. Toys or Else is what it'll become. One British man put it like this. He said, the thing that impresses me the most about American parents is the way they obey their children. If we were to take the modern version of Ephesians 6:1, it would be this. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home. Are we just peacekeeping parents of trying to keep everything together to make that all happen? Number four, are we principled parents? Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But walking with the principles of God to say, Lord, we want to understand what your word says, and we want to walk as principled people. And it doesn't mean that it's a formula, but we're going to walk these principles out, and we're going to give our kids to you and let you have them, Lord, and you do what you want to do with them. It's your child. I'm just stewarding this life for this time period. And when that happens, then we begin to walk with the principles of God, because nobody is ever going to be perfect. Lord Rochester in 1675, that's a long time ago. In 1675, Lord Rochester said this, before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. It's an art more than it is a science. It takes time to walk these principles out. Now, we've got different kind of families all throughout this room, blended families, single parent homes, empty nesters, grandparents. Big families, small families, tragedies in families, joys in families. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, it gives us the beginning of these principles. I want to give us our roles. See, it gives us roles. It begins with saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Then it gets in verse 4 and it says, fathers, which it could be parents, do not stir up anger in your children. See, it gives us our roles. What are our roles? And even at the end of verse 4, it says, so that you may bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here's our roles. Children obey, parents train. In its most simplistic place, here's what it is. Children obey, parents train. Verse 1, children obey your parents. Verse 4, and fathers, being it could be parents as well, bringing up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So let's talk about parents first, and then we'll talk about kids. What are we trying to train in our kids? What is this happening with this? What does this mean? Not what do parents demand. What are we training? What are we helping them to grow into? See, parents, we move in different stages. I didn't come up with this. It's in a lot of different lists in a lot of different ways, but Doug Bischoff, our next gen minister, he put these four words together, and here's what it says. It says this, that we've got four different categories. First, we're a caregiver. We wipe noses and we tie shoes. Next, we're a cop. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. Third, we are a coach. Well, what do you think would be the best idea in this? What do you think would be good with that? How can we help you along? And then fourth, we live as a lifelong consultant. And then they turn back to you, and then you're able to be consulting in their life to be able to help them along in that. A caregiver, a cop, a coach, a consultant. You got to make sure that you go, because you can't be a cop when they're 25. That's not the right place to be, is it? It's different when they're younger than when they're older. So what do we do to train? How do we get this training in them? Number one, this is the first thing, and these are in orders. We want to train affections that last. We want to train affections that last. What are we trying to get across with our kids? We want affections that last. Here's what I mean. We want their love to be for the things of God. Those are the only lasting things on planet Earth. So we want to train affections to help them see their affections of lasting affections for the things of God, for Jesus himself, for God the Father himself, for the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, for missions, for making a difference, for making an impact, for leaving a legacy of generosity. We want to train that their affections are in love with the things of God and God himself. Now, oftentimes as parents, we're just trying to get their behavior. That's what we're trying to fix. The first thing we need to be training is affections, raising a child that loves the Lord. See, there's a lot of things in life to like. There's a lot of things in life to enjoy. But there's only one thing in life to love, and that's Christ. And from the love of God, then we have the love of others. And we got to get it where it's not mixed up. And I think in today's culture, we got it mixed up. The things we're supposed to be liking and enjoying, we love. And the thing that we're supposed to be loving, we kind of like if we have time. So the schedule gets crazy because we got all these activities and all these skills and all these talents that are going on. And so we go, if we get time, we will go by church if possible. But right now, we got to work on this. And so we have now kids that are falling in love with things that they should like and enjoy instead of loving the only one that's worthy of love. And then when you love him, you'll like and enjoy the other things a lot better. C.S. Lewis put it like this: if you love second things, you will lose first things and second things. If you love the first thing first, you'll get second things thrown in. Jesus said it like this: seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. So we want to train kids. We want to love kids. And with relationship, all around this is relationship, is that they would have affections for the things of God. Here's the question. Here's what's not the question. The question is not, what are you going to do? The question is, who are you going to love? Because here's the statement, parents. Who cares what they do? I care who they love. Because if they love the Lord, then what they do will be fine. You could be in the band, you could be in sports, you could be in drama, you could be in woodworking, you can be in whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter. It's who you love, and the affections have to be the highest. Now, how does that happen? It happens by who do we love as parents. Because if we have an affection for the Lord and we have a love for God and they see that in us, burning in us, then that's going to be an increasing of the odds that they will have an affection for the Lord as well. Because they're seeing it not just at church, but at home as well. Who do we love? Number two, we train an attitude that is right. So affections at last came from children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 1. Why? Because this is right. An attitude that is right. Here's what we've said in our home. We didn't come up with it by any means, but we'd say this: right away, all the way, with the right heart. right away, all the way with the right heart. Now, obviously, that's kind of in the cop section a little bit more, right, than the coaching section and the consulting section. But it's, hey, we need to do this, this, and this. Well, when are we going to do it? We need to do it right away, all the way with the right heart. Because here's what doesn't count. We want you to do this. Fine. Right? That's the wrong heart. You can't do it like that. You got to get the right heart first. We got to have the right attitude. The right attitude. Attitude is everything in life, isn't it? We got to do it right away, all the way. Guess what? Your kids' bosses are not going to come in and go, I'm going to count to three before you do this project. One, two. It's not going to happen, is it? We're not brokering here. Now, of course, can I wait till the movie's over? Sure. Can I wait till this? Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, of course. There's a brokering in that. But it's not a brokering over who's in charge. It's right away, and it's all the way with the right heart. Think of the prodigal son's older brother. He did everything that was right, but he did it with the wrong heart, didn't he? And just doing what's right is not Christianity. Some of you must have think that. I just do it, it's right. That's Christianity. It's not what's Christianity. Christianity is affections, love for God, that steps into attitude of, I want to please the Lord. And then it will step in just a moment, we'll see, into what we do. The right heart is what is key. Attitude is everything. And guess what, guys? We need to quit having a bad attitude about stuff, all of us, adults included. Don't complain about what you got to do at work. Be glad you have a job. There's a lot of people would love for you to quit so you could have their job. So don't complain about doing. Be glad you get to do it. Kids, I know homework's no fun. It wasn't fun when I had it either, and you got a lot more than I had in my day. But to be able to know that, be glad that you're getting a good education. That's a privilege and a blessing and a pleasure. Have the right attitude. Attitude changes everything. Attitude changes everything. And in that, we have affections for Christ, an attitude that is right. And then third, and finally in these three, actions that honor. Actions that honor. Now, what do we do a lot of times in parenting? We flip it around. We want the actions first, and then sure, if we can get a good attitude, then that's bonus. And if they love Jesus, then fine. That's okay. That's kind of bonus too. But we just want them to do the right thing. And so we parent for great increased skill, great increased security, everything to be perfect and great. It's never going to be perfect and great, but if they love God, they're going to be able to get through it in a great way. So their affections are number one. What are they in love with? What are you in love with? What am I in love with? Number two is their attitude, the right attitude. And then number three, is it their actions that are going to follow, actions that honor. Verse two, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may have long life in the land, that we have actions that honor. Here's how it works in a great way. Actions that honor. If the action honors God, it's going to honor your parents. You honor God, you're going to honor your parents. It gets thrown in. It's a second thing thrown in. If you could think about in your mind of an action that honors your parents, then it's most likely going to honor God. Now, if your parents are asking you to rob banks and to steal things, then don't do it, okay? You don't have to do that. But it's to be able to honor, and the honor is where the actions have to come from. That's where it's got to come from. President Roosevelt put it like this in 1917, no other success in life is greater. Not being a president or being wealthy or going to college or writing a book or anything else, nothing comes up to the success of a man or woman who can feel that they have done their duty, not perfect, done their duty, and that their children and grandchildren would rise up and call them blessed, that there would be an honoring that would happen. So we've got to have them in love with the right things. It's not programs that our kids are about. It's principles that they're learning. And so we have their affections that are growing in the Lord. Their attitude is right. And then finally, they honor with their actions. They honor with their actions. I want you to take, if you will, this green thing here. It's a cardstock type of thing. All campuses take this. We're going to look at first the side that says grow at home. It has a little house on it, on that side. I want to just walk you through this, and I want you to, you might want to take this and just put this on your refrigerator for a week and just be able to be reminded of this. Here's what it says. I want you to look first to the top right-hand corner. 89% of church kids, quote unquote, who did not see Christian faith lived out at home, walked away from faith as an adult. Let that, like, scare us, okay? 89% of kids that are church kids, quote unquote church kids, walked away from their faith when they got out of the home because they didn't see in the home anything happening. I just want you to hear me loud and clear, plead with you. Bringing them to church for a couple hours is not enough. Parents, you are the primary discipler of your children. You are the primary discipler of your children. And we as a church, we love coming alongside. And we want to, and it is absolutely wonderfully important for them to be a part. And just the fact that you're in church is a great, great step. So it's awesome for that. That's great. But if they don't see it lived out at home, church becomes an event instead of a lifestyle. And then the event gets to be crowded out by other events, and it gets harder and harder to come to the event. Church is not an event. Church is a lifestyle, because Christianity is not an event. It's a lifestyle. So 89%. So if our affections, if our attitude and our actions are truly from a love for Jesus, that's going to be a whole lot better for the kids in their home, in the home as well, right? Now let's look to the left. It gives us a verse. How are we going to do this? This is a great how-to verse. It's this big green block down here in the bottom left-hand corner. It's a verse from Deuteronomy 6, and we just put it in kind of a cool graphic design way. Here's what it says. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Do you hear affections in that? These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. So what do? Repeat them to your children, boldface. Talk about them. Where? When? When you sit in your house, when you walk alongside the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So everywhere we go, our Christianity is coming through, and they're seeing the work of the Lord in our lives and our walk as parents. On the right-hand side, we give you five things. Okay, what does it mean to be a grow-at-home family? Here's what it means: to be authentic, to be engaged, to be relational, to be missional, to be intentional. Those five words, if you put those floating around in your home and keep those going, that's going to bode well for your home and the upbringing of your kids, no matter what age that they are. See, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. This is talking about not rules of Christianity. It's talking about relationship in life with your kids and your parents. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, some of those moments are going to be piglet moments. Some of those moments are going to be amazing moments. It's a marathon. It's an art. It's a journey. I remember, and this has stuck with me a long time, when I was doing college ministry at A&M, a men's Bible study that was basically men with kids and kind of the men of College Station, and they wanted me to come and speak to their Bible study because I was working with all what they considered the college kids and doing youth ministry and all that. And they said, well, we just want to hear from you. You know, what's it like with the college kids and the kids, high school and all that? And so I sat down with them, and we had a good Bible study. It was nice. I didn't have any kids at the time, just newly married. And one of the dads leaned over across kind of the living room, and he said, with tears in his eyes, he said, what do I do now with my daughter who's 17 and kind of going wild? He had come to the Lord late in his life. This Bible study thing was a new thing for him. He'd just been kind of just winging it with parenting on common sense and what do we think we need to do right now. There was no real Christian anything, and now he had this 17-year-old daughter that kind of the rails were starting to get a little bit too wide. I didn't know what to tell him. And I've thought about that so much. And I've just pondered that. And I said, you know, pray, and, you know, God can do. I mean, I gave my best. And those are all good things. I think I know what to tell him now. I think. So if you're here and you're listening to me at this moment and you're thinking, I wish I'd have heard this message 10 years ago. Or you're feeling guilt and your kids are grown, or even your kids are in the home. And you're feeling this guilt because you're like, I want to give you three things. Three things. Number one, pray deeply. Pray deeply. Fast and pray deeply. That child or grandchild. Before we get to number two, I'm going to tell you in just a second, in between those two, I want you to go to dinner or a special place that you can talk and have a real conversation I mean, not like the drive-through, not we're driving down the road. I'm talking about you could talk. It's at home. Don't even have to be at a restaurant. Don't have to be fancy. I'm just saying a place where you can talk and really have a real conversation before we get to number two. Number two is this: apologize sincerely. Apologize sincerely. This is what I mean. You sit across that table and you sit down and you say, honey, as your dad and you're my daughter, I want to apologize to you. I was gone too much when you were a child. We didn't make church a priority. We never read the Bible together. We were so busy with all this stuff that we never got to the true affections. And I just want you to hear from me. And parents, you can cry. You can cry your eyes out. I'm sorry. I've made a lot of mistakes as a parent, and that's how we all do it. But on this one, I'm really sorry that the affections for Jesus were not paramount in our home. We did a lot of other things, and I just want you to know I'm sorry. That's number two. At that point, they're probably either going to go, I'm so glad you said that because I've been really holding some things in, and you're going to have a great cleansing moment. It's going to be awesome. Or they're going to say, Dad, you know, I'm cool with that. It's okay. Don't worry. People are starting to look at other tables about you sobbing like this. It's going to be one of those two type of things. Or they're going to say, I don't really understand, and you can give a little bit more. And then number three, this is important. Number three, speak clearly. Speak clearly. You're still their parent. You're still their parent. And this is what I mean by speak clearly. You say, no one on planet Earth loves you more than I do. Nobody has loved you longer or deeper than I have, and I will. And I'm with you forever. I want to speak clearly to you right now, though. I know you're not where you want to be or God wants you to be in your relationship with Christ. And I want, as your dad, as your mom, to ask you with every fiber in me that you would consider the claims of Jesus, that you would turn to Christ. I know your marriage, Christ isn't the center. I know your spouse, possibly, they're not even into this stuff. But I want to speak clearly to you and tell you that I love you, and I'm asking you to give your heart and your steps and your life to Jesus. Another thing. I want to speak clearly to you, and I want to plead with you that my grandchildren and your children would be raised in the ways of the Lord and within the church. I'm asking you if I can pick up my granddaughter or grandson every Sunday and bring them to church if you don't want to go. I will commit to you every Wednesday night to come by and pick them up. I will change my travel schedule. I will do anything, but I want to speak as clearly to you as I possibly can. Please don't raise my grandchildren and your grandchildren away from the Lord. And then you just stay there as a consultant. You can't force anything. But if you pray deeply, you apologize sincerely, and you speak clearly, I think you've laid a groundwork and a foundation to be able to say, you know what? You're an adult now. You do what you want. And you come and you love them in a great way with that. Our goal as parents is not what they do. It's who they are. It's not the activities they're in. It's the person they're in love with. And affections lead to attitude, and attitude leads to actions. And if you just parent for actions, you'll miss the two most important things. Now let's look at the kids before we close up. Let me show you one other thing on the bulletin. I'm sorry, one other thing on this green thing. On the back, if you'll look, what we're trying to do is previously preschool and children and middle school had been disconnected. We're trying to connect all three of those so that we know how preschool leads into children, children into students, and students on into life. So that's what we're trying to do with that. And you've got pictures there of the staff at your campus that's there that you can connect with. So we want the next generation to be holistic and come all the way through. Now let's talk about kids for just a moment. Kids, this is a big thing for you. A lot of these verses are yours. Children, obey your parents. So kids, what do? Deposits of trust become withdrawals of blessing. Deposits of trust become withdrawals of blessing. It says that if you walk in obedience to the Lord, and obedience to God's number one. So it says, children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. That's the number one. Children, obey your parents as in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. Commandment has a paramount promise in it. It says if you'll give deposits of trust, they'll become withdrawals of blessing. Here's what I mean. If you say, hey, Dad, if we go to the movie, if we go to the ball game, if we go to whatever, I promise I'll do my homework when I get home. When you do your homework and you really do it when you get home, that's a deposit of trust. I'm going to do my chores. That's a deposit of trust. I'll be home at 10:30 and you're home at 10:28. That's a deposit of trust that's happening. But when you are continually making withdrawals of disobedience and pushing the envelope, you are breaking down trust with your parents. And the more trust you break down, the less blessing you're going to get. But when kids show that they can be trusted to honor God, trusted to honor their parents, then parents, we're able to say, you know what? You've got more freedom. And because I know you're going to do the right thing, I can trust you to go out and do the right thing. But it's like a bank account, students. You're putting in trust, and then you're trying to make a withdrawal. And some of you students, you're trying to make withdrawals. You don't have money to cash the check on. Because you've been working the system a little bit. And it's saying flat out, children, obey your parents. Now, I've been disobedient to my parents plenty, and for sure before I became a believer in Christ. But when it changed for me is when I realized I was a believer in Christ, I started reading these verses about being disobedient to parents. And I found that these verses, when it said disobedience to parents, it was right next to liar, it was right next to thieves, it was right next to slanderers and adulterers, and it was put in this package of like, I was like, what's the big deal? Everybody does this. No, this is a big deal to disobey my parents. See, students, here's the deal. Your greatest desire is to be obedient to God and be obedient to your parents. That's your deepest soul desire. Your greatest desire is not to stay out to 10:30 when the curfew's 10. That's not your greatest desire. Your greatest desire is not to have a phone. Your greatest desire is not to get on the internet. Your greatest desire is not to have a car. Your greatest and biggest blessing desire will be to honor God and honor your parents. And when that happens, obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Does that mean it's some formula? No, it's a principle. It's a principle. And so honor your parents. And as we train parents, and as they obey as kids, then we've got our roles down. And that begins to make sense. Will there be some piglet moments? Yes. Will there be some imperfections? Of course. You'll never be a perfect parent. Here's the deal. We got to give them a reason to need Jesus, right? If we were perfect, they wouldn't need Jesus. But we're not perfect, so they need Jesus, who is perfect. Look at God the Father, perfect parent of all parents is God the Father. And look at how his kids turned out, all of us. So it's not the goal of perfection. It's to be able to have these principles to let God work through it. There's a song that when it comes on the radio on KSBJ, I love this song. It's by Sidewalk Prophets. And it's called These Are the Words That I Say. And it's almost become a joke because now my kids, when they hear the song come on the radio, they say, Dad, are you crying? Dad, are you crying? Because I'm like having these, that's for you, man. That's your song. This is mine. I dedicate this chorus to y'all. And I turn up the radio on the chorus. And, you know, and sometimes if I'm really going, I'll just sing it to them, you know. But here's the words. And parents, this will strike your heart. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. What's that like for a dad or a mom to say that to kids? You're gonna do great things, I already know it. God has his hand on you. I tell my kids that all the time. God has his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Parenting is difficult. Parenting's a blessing. But yet, these are the words that we say. If you'll have affections for God, the right attitude, and honor in your actions, man, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And you're going to honor God and honor us as your folks.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.